brothers dwell, sisters, to in unity, there he commands a blessing. So I want to thank all those that are in Children's Church that are helping to teach our children, encourage our children, all those that serve from the front and all those that serve from the back to help in producing the blessings that God has. Amen. Right, as I just mentioned, we're going to be talking about God's blessings. And in Matthew 5, we're on verse 9 at the moment. We've been going through what we call the attitudes, the beatitudes, the stepping stones that God has for us, because he likes to challenge us. He likes to us to change and be encouraged and be directed and be corrected. And I know for me, I find it difficult to tell stories. I find it difficult to detract from God's word, and I find it easy just to look at his word and trust his word and believe his word. And for me, and I want to say it's also true for you if you choose to take it, that when you believe his word transforms you. When you take on board what his word says about you, then you will be in the storm of life, but he will be your anchor. You will be there in the fight of life, but he will be the weapon that you need. He's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So even though it may not be popular at times just to minister God's word, then I believe it's true in my life, and I also believe it's true in your life, that it's his word that you can stand on. Now, I haven't developed this just for Phil, but he will come up to me afterwards and say, "Thanks, Pastor, I really needed that rebuke." So blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And when I first read this portion of scripture as a young Christian, I would look around me and I would see in most families there are peacemakers, in the natural sense. I'm a peacemaker. I don't like trouble. I don't like conflict. I had a reputation at school of being a Jack the Lad and handy with my hands, and I used to have a sharp tongue, or I still do have, I think. But I wanted to bring peace. I didn't want to bring strife and conflict. I don't like strife. I don't like conflict. I don't like to get in the middle of an argument. I don't like to be the cause of an argument. But that's not what we're talking about today. But it just does come into our lives because it's part of our lives. But actually what Jesus is saying here when he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," it goes on to say this, "For they will be called children of God." So there are certain peacemakers that will be called children of God. And when we look into God's word and we look in Matthew 5:45, for instance, it says this, "That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." God wants to be your father so that you can be his child in Romans 8:14. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." So who are we talking to when we look into this beatitude? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God, those that belong to God. So primarily, Jesus is talking about you, and he's talking about me, and he's talking about his church. That doesn't mean that if you're outside of the church, our family members, our friends, our colleagues, it doesn't mean that they're not held responsible for the destruction that they bring. God wants to bring order even in the chaos. So I hope that you will be blessed today as we look through God's word. I hope you will see what God wants you to see as we look through the circumstances and situations of our lives, as we examine our hearts. You know, there's times where we can feel justified in our actions. Have you ever been there? Where someone says something or someone does something and you go, "I'm in my right to say something back." Yet God calls you and me to be peacemakers. It doesn't mean that we have to be those that others walk over. When we looked through what it was to be meek, meekness is power under control. Power under control. God wants you to be meek. He's given you a power. What power has he given you? You know the answer to that. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's given us his Spirit. So we are without excuse, the Bible says. God's given you the power. He's given you the power to bring the situation under control. So if you're going through a turmoil at the moment, if you're going through a situation at the moment whereby you feel justified in speaking out, then realize that God's given you a spirit of meekness, a sound mind, power that's under his control. In Romans 5:5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, just as if I'd never sinned at all, we have peace. So how do we gain peace? You've heard me say this before. You can't give it if you haven't got it. This is one of those scriptures. This is one of those situations. Go back to Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. You can't be a peacemaker if you don't first have peace. There's no point in me preaching peace to you, and yet there's turmoil in my life. Doesn't mean that there isn't things going on. There is. I feel at times that I'm on that sea of life where the waves are overwhelming me, but I know they won't engulf me because God's word is true. He says he won't give me more than I can cope with. It seems at times that that's false, but it's not false. It's a truth. And when we build on the truth, then the waves won't overwhelm us. Why? Because Jesus is in our boat. Now, I know there's lots of different things for you to grab hold of as I speak, and that's the nature of the ministry God's given me. I do talk a lot, but his word is what's going to do the work. So today we're talking about peace. It doesn't mean that you've not got situations going on in your life, but it does mean, as Romans says, that we've been justified through faith. And because we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God because he has cancelled the debt that we ourselves should pay. He cancelled the debt on the cross through the shedding of his own blood so that you could be justified. So that when the devil says about you, you are guilty, Jesus says about you, you are innocent, you're justified. And because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to say to us as a church, and to you as individuals, and anyone who you may speak to or who may listen to God's word, that if you want that true peace that transcends all understanding, that peace that you can't understand, why am I going through this mess yet I feel inside this peace? Well, that's the peace of God that only comes through Jesus Christ. So when we look at scripture and when we read scripture and when we listen to other theologians, when we look at teachers and we look at false teachers and we look at colleagues, we need to know the truth for ourselves so that peace can be that blessed assurance that the psalmists sing about or the hymn writers write about. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Well, we can only find this peace that I'm talking about through Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. So when we read scripture, it's the inspired word of God's men and women, yes? It's God's inspired word. He's breathed upon these words. So I don't really need to make any other words up. And reading or publicly reading scripture is powerful if we choose to take hold of God's word and not wait for a story, but just take God's word as God's word. So let me read his word. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's a free gift. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So there's a judgment, and because we've been saved from that judgment, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through his death, or through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We have something to be peaceful about. So the peace that we're talking about in the Beatitudes, Jesus is saying, blessed are the peacemakers, because they are the children of God. So if you belong to Jesus Christ through faith, you've been justified and God's given you peace. Now maybe you don't feel so peaceful. Well, what I want to suggest to you today is that you trust him and you believe his word afresh today for you. Peace is yours. That peace that transcends all understanding. That peace God has given you so that you can do something with it. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Jesus died for you and me so that we could be his hands, his feet, his pockets, so that we could be his expression here on earth, so that we could be those that would take the peace that God gave us and believe it was for us. Believe it was for us. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so there's a question, are you in Christ? If you are, then you're a new creation. The new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to him through Christ. See, God reconciled you and me to himself through Jesus Christ. And he did it for a reason. Do you know what that reason is? Well, I'll tell you just in case you don't. I'm glad you asked. He reconciled us that God may give us a ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us, me and you, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, if you have sin in your life, if I have sin in my life, then heaven is still mine. Did you know that? The Bible talks about the attitudes of the heart. It talks about the works of the flesh. And it talks about the relationship that I have with God. And it says, everything that I do will be tested by fire. The word of God will come upon my life. And the straw and the stubble and the hay will be consumed. But the preciousness of the gold and the silver and the precious stones will remain. And I will escape the flames, even if I'm still a wretched individual, but put my trust in him. But sin still separates us from his grace, from his goodness, and from his peace. God's called you so that you can call others. But you can't give them what you haven't got. So if we have a ministry of reconciliation, here's a challenge for us in church today. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, we don't like to say this about ourselves because we think we're being a little bit overbearing, overstretching with the truth, that we are righteous. We have a right standing with God. Is that true? It is. It's true. The only thing that separates us is sin. So when we confess our sin, he is just to forgive us of our sin. And then he gives us peace. So if there's anything in your life or my life today, I trust that God will highlight it to me so I can say, Lord, I'm really sorry for my attitude. I'm really sorry for the way I spoke or the way I think. Why should I be like that? Have you ever been there? Why should I apologize to that person to bring peace? Why should I humble myself? Because Christ humbled himself. Not a good word at times, is it? It's a challenging word. Why should I give? No one else gives. Why should I give? Because God gave to me. He wants you to give to others. He wants you to forgive because you've been forgiven. And when we grasp these principles, and that peace that transcends all understanding is ours. But they don't deserve it, do we? We don't, do we? Yet while we were still sinners, he forgave us. We live in a world at the moment, and I am not a political preacher, and I don't want to be, and I'm not going to go down that road. I just want to say we're living in a world where, what is the truth? What is the truth? For me, I'll tell you, Jesus. And the reason I know that is because he tells me so. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can go to the Father any other way except through me. And that person comes to me through faith in what I've already done for them while they're still sinners. They don't need to get clean. They don't need to do the things that righteousness calls them to do. They need to have faith in me, and then the Spirit that lives in me will give them peace. And because that peace is a peace that comes from the inside, it will manifest outside, and they'll want to be peace to others. Because they've been reconciled to me, God says, they can go and reconcile others to me too. So God's challenging me this week to acknowledge that I have that peace that transcends all understanding, that I need to allow the sin that's in my life to be dissolved through faith by confession and be reconciled with him so that I can reconcile others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. I don't know about you, but I want to lay hold of all the rights that children have. I don't want parents to answer this, but there are times that I suggest that sometimes, maybe possibly, our children annoy us. We love them, but we don't like them at times. But there isn't anything you wouldn't do for them. You would lay your life down for your children, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They are a smaller version of you. That's how God sees you. He laid his life down for you so that you could be called a child of God, to give you peace. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about peace. But you can't give it if you haven't got it. And I want you to have it. I want you to acknowledge that you have all the rights and the responsibilities of a child of God. So that when the evil one comes, you can stamp on him. You can say that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. You can say that I belong to him. That I come not in words of eloquence, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Not because their words were quoting from Paul, but because it's truth. Because Jesus says, I am. So therefore you are. In Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. This is a tough one. Phil, let me say this. I'll read this one to you, and maybe the others might listen. If it is possible, and Jesus says all things are possible through him. So if you try to do it in your strength, it's not possible. If you do it in his strength, it is possible. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, there's a responsibility. Can I do something about this? Yes. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. God's judgment. You know, God's going to judge the living and the dead. He's going to judge the believer and the unbeliever. And there's another word we don't want to use in church, but the wrath of God is real. But we're his children. You who have children, do you wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be wrathful, vengeful to my kids? No. There are times that we discipline. The Bible says that God disciplines the ones he loves. That's the same with us, with our children. If we allow our children to constantly be unruly, that's not showing love unless we show them discipline as well. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. There's times where, if I'm honest with you, I want to do it. I want to say something. I want to say what you said, what you did was unacceptable. I want to be the one that has a holy kiss with a headbutt, as the Glaswegians tend to do. I want to be the one that says, I'm justified in doing this. And then we read scripture and says that we're to live at peace with everyone. And I'm not to take revenge, but I'm to leave it to the Lord. That's the difficult thing. It's mine to repay, he says. Do we trust God? So if God says that he'll avenge, can we trust him? If he says that he'll be the one that justifies you, can we trust him? If he's the one that says that he will put things right, can we trust him? Can we trust him? I believe we can. On the contrary, it says this, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And this is all around peace, because if we want that peace that transcends all understanding, we need to be those that act like children of God. And then we become a blessed peacemaker, because we can't give what we haven't got. In Jeremiah 6:14, I just simply want to read this small passage. It says this, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Ever been in that situation? We're in the world, our enemies, false teachers, they say peace, peace. They say, listen, just do this and do that and you'll have as much of peace that you need. Just do this or give me that and you'll have as much finance as you need. Just do this and do that without seeking God's face. They say peace, peace everywhere, yet there is no peace. But God's word says, if you are my children, then you have peace. That's the truth of it, full stop. Not if you are my children and you do this and you do this and you do this, you'll have peace. If you are my children, you can only be a child of God because you've been reconciled to him through the death, resurrection of Jesus, through the covering of the blood of Christ, through faith that you believe that he is who he says he is. And when you've done that, you are a child of God. You don't need to earn it, you receive it. So when the world says, if we stop using our cars, then the pollution won't be there and there will be peace. If we give of this situation, there'll be peace. And they're saying peace, peace all around us, but there is no peace. Let's get back to God's word so that we can be peace to those around us, because we know that we're his children. And I want to encourage us today to dig into his word. In Proverbs 17, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. Have you ever opened your mouth and thought, oh no, I know what's coming next because I need to justify what I've just said? And it starts off with a small trickle, doesn't it? And it gets bigger and bigger, and it's like the floodwaters are being held back and all of a sudden the dam is going to breach and all hell is going to be let loose. And it says this, starting a quarrel is like that. So it is a challenge for me, and I'm sure it's a challenge for you, to be a peacemaker. Someone who understands that God is doing a work in them so they can be doing a work in others. It says, drop the matter before dispute breaks out. It's a challenge for us. And I do want to be vulnerable at times. I do want to share some things at times. And I want to say, you know, I'm sure that you've been in situations, if you've been a Christian for any length of time or none, there's a challenge, isn't there? There's a challenge to do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. It's a challenge. And when we look at the law, we look at what's right and wrong. The law comes down on our side sometimes. And there are times that we need to defend our honour. There's times that we need to stand up and say, no, this is unjust. But we do it with the right heart and the right attitude. Two wrongs don't make a right. But when we speak, we can speak truth, can't we? We can speak revelation. We can say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, as we said last week, and renew a right spirit that I may be peaceful inside. That if I need to go and see my brother, if I need to go to court over a legal matter, if I need to go to my employer, if I need to go to my brother or my sister naturally or spiritually, give me peace so that I can be peace. So that when I speak, I can speak in wisdom. Because I know for me, I've been challenged over the years time and time again to do the right thing. And believe it, I've done the wrong thing many times. And then had to go back and breach the dam and put it right. Because when we read scripture, friends, we will see that we are his children. And your children and my children, they are a reflection of me and you. So there's times where, I'm sure they won't listen to this, but there's times where I've not liked my children. Well, they're a reflection of me. So there's something maybe I haven't done. See, they can't have what they haven't been given. I can't give peace, the peace of God, into their lives unless I have it. And you can't. You can't bring peace to your neighborhood. You can't pray God's reconciliation over your neighborhood if you haven't got that reconciliation with God yourself. See, Christians can only give what they've got. If not, it's religion. It's just a set of rules and regulations. So the word that I believe I want to bring today is around blessed are the peacemakers. And the key there is you're blessed. I'm blessed. You know, in circumstances that I can do nothing about, God blesses me. When I can't change the situation and you can't, God blesses us. Why? Because we're his children. And there are times that people around your family are blessed because they know your children. They're blessed just because of your children. And your children are blessed because of you. And you're blessed because of God. And so it goes on and on. So blessed are the peacemakers. So let's be peacemakers this week. Do not be deceived, dear brothers and sisters. James 1. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all creation. God is blessing us time and time again. On Saturday, I woke up Saturday morning and I had this parable in my mind and it wouldn't leave me. And I put it down at the end of this message and I'm going to read it, and I'm just going to trust that somehow, you know, this parable will come in line with the whole message that we've been trying to bring, because I couldn't get out of my mind this morning, and it came and came. And it may just be for me, so indulge me and I'll read this passage of scripture, and it could be just to bless me, but maybe it'll bless you too. And it's in Matthew 20, and it's known, I guess, as the parable of the 11th hour worker. And from verse 8 it says this: when evening came, the owner of the vineyard called the workers to pay them their wages. And when we look through this story, it says that the multitude are in the marketplace. And the foreman goes out to look for people to work. And he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for the vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for a day and sent them into his vineyard." So the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. The Lord comes and he asks you to come and work for him. And he agrees an amount to pay you. And it says, in this particular story, it was a financial reward of a denarius for the day. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again at noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" Or some translations say standing idle. And it says this: "Because no one has hired us." So what the impression this gives me is they're standing there in the marketplace, in the place where people come to hire, and nobody has hired them. And we're talking about individuals who, at the end of the day. So if I use this story and I equate it to my prowess on the sports field, when it came to picking the football team, I'm the one that's left. because no one wants me, because I'm rubbish at football. When it comes to the cricket team, I'm the one that's left because no one wants me, because I'm rubbish at cricket. In actual fact, apart from talking, I weren't good at anything. So I was the one on the sports field left. So all you have to assume here, if the marketplace was a place where God came to look for people, using this parable, looking for people who were right to work, the ones that were left in the world are the ones that no one else wants. They all picked the strongest, maybe the tallest, those that they felt would work the hardest first. And yet the ones that didn't seem to have anything to offer were still standing there. And it says, standing there doing nothing, or idle. And if we look at the word idle, it can be two different things. It could be idle in the sense of they really don't want to do anything, but they wouldn't be there if they was idle. Or idle, may I suggest, like you're at the traffic lights with the engine on and your foot on the accelerating, and the engine is idling, waiting to go. I want to suggest that these individuals that no one else wanted were there waiting to be called. And there hopefully is a point to this story, because no one had hired us, they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So those that came last received a day's wages. So when those who were hired first came, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a day's wages, a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, but you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." Pause. This is a picture of the ministry that God's called me and you to. There are some in this room that have been Christians for the majority of their lives. They've been serving God, you've been serving God faithfully, day in and day out. And there's those that have recently come into faith. You've been serving God faithfully. And sometimes in life, I was reminded when I read this afresh that I found myself complaining. I say, "It's not fair, Lord. I'm doing all this work for you and yet I don't get any reward." That they come along and they do nothing and they get the same as I get. And then God reminded me, if I want that peace that transcends all understanding, I need to realize that I'm his child. And if I will realize that I'm his child, I've already been given all the riches that Jesus came to die for so that I could have. My healing is in Christ. It was given to me when he died on the cross. By his stripes, I am healed. I am healed. There's times it doesn't manifest in my body, but I believe that I'm his child. All that I need, financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, have been given to me because I'm his child. So there's a time in my life, and I'm not suggesting that you do this, but there's a time in my life that I grumble because someone else who does less than me get the same reward as I get. Well, that's called kingdom. That's called God's given us a ministry of reconciliation so that we can go do likewise and reconcile others to him. And then it's between them and God what they do with their money, what they do with their sexuality, what they do with their prayer time, what they do with their leisure time. It's between them and God. But my responsibility is not to be jealous, but to pray, to receive, to understand, to forgive, to feed. Because God's called me at just the right time, so that I could work in his vineyard. He's called you at just the right time so that you could work in his vineyard. And it goes on to say, but he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? When you was offered the kingdom, When you heard the message of reconciliation, the gospel, when you heard it for the first time, when you was told it for the first time, when you received it. I was in a church, and I never only went to church for weddings, funerals, and my wife went to church, and I just wanted to go check them out, just to make sure they weren't a cult, because they met in the afternoon, and that seemed fishy to me. So I went along to this church, and what seemed really strange was they were likable, and I found that peculiar. What seemed even more strange was they started to sing, and they all sang, not just the choir master. That seemed really odd to me. And then when they begin to minister the word, this burly Yorkshireman started to preach, I think that's what they called it, and it started to speak to me. I found that peculiar. But this is what he said. If you want to know this Jesus that I'm preaching, then raise your hand. That's what happened. What's happening? Something was happening on the inside of me. I don't know what your story was, but I was told afterwards when I sat one-on-one with a godly man that if you choose to receive Jesus, he will give you peace. If you choose to receive Jesus, he will take over your life and you will live your life through him. Because when he comes to live on the inside, his spirit will convict you of all unrighteousness. So the things, Andrew, you used to do, you will be convicted of if they're not righteous. The things that you used to say, you will struggle with saying them. And do you know what I said? Yes, I receive. So I knew right at the beginning of my journey that I agreed to work for a denarius. I agreed to work for salvation. I agreed to work for peace. I agreed to work so that I knew my sins were forgiven. Does this make sense? I knew that. So why was I complaining when the work got hard? Why was I doing what some of these people did? When they look at someone else, say, it's not fair. Caroline's only been a Christian for 3 minutes and she's blessed. Why should she be blessed? If you've got children, and one is 10 and one is 3, do you want to bless both of them? You do, don't you? I hope you do. You do. When your children get older and leave home, they're still your children, and you want to bless them. And that's what God said to me through this passage of Scripture. He's saying to me, listen, that peace that my word talks about in Matthew, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You're my child, so you're a peacemaker. But I've given you a ministry of reconciliation, so I want you to do what I've called you to do, and I've already given you the reward. Salvation. Your sins are forgiven. So within this whole scripture verse and scripture verses that I've read today, it's primarily to challenge us, to remind us, to equip us, to revive us, but to give us peace. So that we can, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what people are saying about you or doing behind your back, no matter what you read falsely, the accusations, no matter how much you're struggling with your family at the moment, no matter how much you're struggling with finances, no matter how much you're struggling with praising him when you don't feel like you can, no matter how much the world's coming at you and trying to dilute and pollute his word, if you are his child, then you're blessed. You're blessed. You are a peacemaker because you're his child. Amen. Let's pray. Let's bring our final worship hymn and give him all the praise and the glory. Father, we thank you that your word is challenging. It changes us. It encourages us. It enables us. It reminds us. It provokes us. It stirs us. But it empowers us. That, Father God, that when we walk into volatile situations, may we be reminded that that peace that transcends all understanding is ours. That as far as it is, goes with us, if we can reconcile, let's reconcile. If we have to take things further, Lord, we can move in a godly way. knowing that you are for us, that you've clothed us, you've covered us, you've justified us, you've sanctified us, you've set us apart, you've given us the cattle on the hill, the gold and the silver belongs to you, healing is ours, because we are your children. Lord, today we lay hold of all the gifts that you, through your word, lavish upon us. Today, Father God, I ask you to forgive me of any unrighteousness, any thoughts or deeds, that I may be one with you. I pray, Father God, today that you would endow me afresh with that peace that transcends all understanding, that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. That, Father God, when I walk into the world and I hear peace, peace all around me, may I have a discerning heart. May I know that peace primarily comes through faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that we have a heavenly home waiting for us. Peace primarily comes through your word. So, Father God, help me this week, this day, to share this peace that you've given me with those around me by the way I act and the way I react. I ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Bless you.